Yes, folks, once again, you're listening to the Hour of the Time. As always, I'm still William Cooper. I'm getting some letters now from some irate people out there. At least they think they're people. They're really not. They don't like the way that I talk to them. You see, they don't understand that real people, people who know who they are and what they are not sheeple. And those real people know that I'm not talking to them. And they know that the methods and techniques that I use are designed to slap the sheeple. Those who are not awake, those who are stupid, ignorant, apathetic, upside the head, and make them realize who and what they are. And even to make them angry at me, if I can, so that they will go out and try to prove me wrong, and in the process, learn that what they're hearing on this program is the truth, and then wake themselves up and try to become real people, if they can. Keep writing me those angry letters. Every time you write me one of those angry letters, I know that my techniques are working. I know that I'm slapping you upside the head. I know that you're a sheeple, or it wouldn't make you angry. For real people know that I'm not talking to them. So keep it up. I love it. I love to hear from the sheeple. I love to hear that I'm getting through to you, that I'm making you angry, that you have to look at yourself and evaluate yourself. And when you get angry, it's because you know that I'm right and that you are sheeple and that you are stupid, ignorant, apathetic, and that you are responsible for the demise, the destruction of the United States of America. We collectively, over the years, have abdicated our responsibility through our stupidity, ignorance, and apathy. And I no longer will tolerate it in myself or in you. So don't expect to get any respite. Don't expect for me to overlook your guilt or to let you off easy, because I will not. Now let's go to Phoenix and hear from Gene on the Metal Report. Good evening, Gene.
Good evening, Bill. Hey, I'm behind you 100%. I deal with some of those same apathetic sheeple every day. So hopefully we can get some of them woke up anyhow, huh?
Well, I think it's working.
Yeah.
Slowly but surely, and we don't have near the numbers that we need, but it's working.
Hey, you certainly aren't going backwards. Gold today closed at a high of 387.90, the low of 383.70.
Gene, you're making me crazy again.
I am.
You got to find a level for your voice and keep it there. When you talk low, I have to bring the pot way up, and then all of a sudden you start yelling. It blasts the meters right off the console.
Okay, I'll try to keep it at a normal tone here. I'll try to talk monotone for you.
There you go. You don't have to talk monotone, but you got to keep it in a reasonable range there, if you will.
Gold had a high of 387.90 and a low of 383.70 to close at 386.80, up $2.60. Silver had a high of 555, a low of 537 to close at 551, up 13 cents. Platinum had a high of 405.80, a low of $400.80, close at 407.50. Up $3.90, and the Dow had a high of 38.23, a low of 37.83, to close at 3,796.40, down $18.40. An interesting little couple of paragraphs in the Reaper this month by R.E. McMasters. One concerning the metals says, "I keep wondering how long it is until these metals blow out upside. Could it occur in the next turning point time frame of June 4th to the 22nd, 20th or 22nd? These saucer bottoms formed on the long-term chart in platinum and silver are very bullish. Moreover, if we are to see an international currency crisis before this year is out, a safe haven may be, very well may be, the precious metals. Fundamentally, metals are bullish. The silver deficit in 1994 is expected to increase to 250 million ounces. The gold deficit in 1994 is expected to be over 15 million ounces. One other thing in regards to the currency, it says, when we realize that the best the U.S. dollar has been able to do is rally 25% of its decline from 1985's high, we know that it's weak. Currencies in the Pacific Basin, which are not traded on futures markets such as New Zealand's dollar and the Malaysian ringgit, are soaring against the U.S. dollar. How long until the other currencies blow out upside against the U.S. buck, or how long until the precious metals become currency? The fact that the U.S. Treasury may exchange or will exchange the dollar for a new currency within the next few months is bearish for the buck. Look for a multicolored currency with a special watermark. But for sure, if Alan Greenspan resigns from the Fed, it means the U.S. dollar is about to go to hell in a handbasket." Well, these are just all things that you that are listening have heard Bill talk about for, what, years now?
Long time.
And it's happening before your eyes, folks. I do want to thank the people that are making a response and are getting themselves prepared. Maybe I haven't ever told you this, but just personally, I want to thank you over there for all the people that are doing something. You are making a difference. Keep it up. Numismatic coins are all up in the last 4 to 6 weeks. Everything is very, very strong. Everything's moving in a positive direction. So we have a new newsletter came out just this week called Malfunction Junction. You can call us at 1-800-289-2646 and get your free copy of that.
I think it's the best that Craig's ever written that I've seen.
Yes, it really cuts it right to the chase. So, and it has a hidden message. We'll see how many of you real people can pick it up, and how many of you just will gaze right over it, just like they gaze right over what's going on in front of them in the economy and with the government. Some of you will miss it, and some of you will get it. And that's kind of how it is in real life, isn't it, Bill?
Sure is. Most people never get it in real life.
Sure. Well, thanks a lot, Bill.
Thank you, Gene. Call Gene or anybody at Swiss America Trading, folks. 1-800-289-2646. They're all good people. Gene has spent a lot of time helping us with the show and helping you out there, so we're kind of partial to Gene. Do it. You'll be glad that you did. A great weight will be taken off your shoulders, and you'll be able to tell your loved ones that you have prepared them for what's coming, and that's important. Now, I want to go back to House Resolution 3261. It's a bill that was introduced in October of 1993, H.R. 3261. Now, I told you to call your congressman and get this bill passed, but I neglected to tell you that it's in committee. And some of the congressmen are telling some of you that are calling that they never heard of it, and they probably never heard of it because it's still in committee. What we need you to do is get your congressman to sign discharge petition number 12. Discharge petition number 12 for the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, H.R. 3261. That's discharge petition number 12 for H.R. 3261, which is sort of nicknamed the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights. There was another Taxpayers' Bill of Rights previous to this, but you've got to do this, folks. You've got to get it out of committee. We only have 99 signatures. We need 230. You must call. You must call, and you must keep calling. And after it comes out of committee, you must continue to call to make sure that your congressman votes to pass it. It is a bill which will hold individual IRS agents responsible for their actions when they disobey the law. and when they hurt people, and when they act under color of law, and when they lie and cheat, and when they confiscate your property without due process. You must do this. If you don't do this, then don't ever cry to me because it didn't pass. And don't cry to me if they come and take your house and your car. Because if you didn't do anything to get this passed, as far as I'm concerned, you deserve it. That's the way I think, folks. People ultimately get what they deserve. And since we've been so silly and stupid and ignorant and apathetic through the years, we're beginning to get what we deserve. Now we've got to turn around, and we've got to make sure that we start to deserve something better. And to do that, we have to get active. We have to make ourselves the watchdogs of the government of for and by the people, as it was intended in the beginning. Now, don't forget, CAGI membership is open once again. $100 for individual membership and $150 for your whole family if you wish to enroll your family. I don't care if you use your real names or your real address or not, but we must be able to contact you by mail, and we would like to be able to contact you by phone. I don't know how you can arrange that, but you can arrange it any way you want. I don't care, folks. What I do care is when you take the oath, you mean it, and that you help us take this country back, reinstate the Constitution as the supreme law of the land. Don't forget, our convention is coming up August 1st through the 5th. The 1st through the 5th. It's $100 for CAGI members or intelligence service members. It's $150 for intelligence service members who have family membership. There are no CAGI members who have family membership, so if you're a CAGI member, don't even ask. You don't have it, and you know you don't have it. It's new, and only intelligence service members will have it. If you're a CAGI member and you'd like to find out how you can get it, give us a call. Give me a call personally, or write me a letter. We'll give you the information. For anybody else, if you're not a CAGI member or a member of the intelligence service, it's $250 per person, and anyone is welcome. We don't care who you are. But if you are an agent of any law enforcement agency, any military group, unit, or organization, or any agency of the government, or you report to any of these agencies for any reason, even though you may not be a member, you must so indicate and inform us when you arrive. And everyone who arrives here will be asked to sign a statement certifying that they are not, and if they are, that they will reveal that fact on that piece of paper. And it's because these people like to sneak around and lie a lot. So we're just doing this to cover ourselves and our members and any non-members who come who may find themselves being scrutinized by these people. If you come, make sure you fly into Albuquerque or Flagstaff or Phoenix or Tucson, rent a car, drive up. Before you get here, splatter the license plates with lots of mud. We don't care. And when you get here, you can use any name you want to. I don't care. Just make sure that we know if you paid in advance and who it was that you paid for and all that kind of stuff, folks. When you get here, you're going to go through an intense program of learning from morning to night for 5 solid days. And what you're going to learn is going to boggle your mind. When you go away from here, you're going to be a leader, and you're going to be a very, very good intelligence agent, whether or not you're a member. You're going to learn more than you ever thought you could learn in a 5-day period of time. So hope to see you all here. Don't forget our sale, the treason papers. Folks, the treason documents. Everybody in this country should have a set of the treason documents. It cost us a fortune to do the research. It cost the members who duplicated the research a fortune. So the price of the treason papers are high. But now they're on sale. They were $85 and $75, respectively, CAGI and non-CAGI. They're now $58 and $68. It's over 628 pages. Of official government documents, State Department documents, congressional record, the law, United States Code, statutes, Federal Register, all of these things, and much, much more, folks. It's the proof you've all been asking for, and you're all too lazy to go and find, so we did it for you. And you keep asking for the proof. Now, the proof is available. Get it. Show it to your neighbors. Duplicate it. Give a copy to your local sheriff. Send a copy to your congressman and ask him why he's keeping this secret from you. It's the proof you've been asking for. You must get a copy, ladies and gentlemen. Very shortly, it will be published as a book. As a book. Maybe two volumes. We don't know yet, but I just talked to my publisher today, and we're going ahead on it. It should be real quick. But in the meantime, you still need these papers. Get them. The book is going to be expensive. It's expensive to publish documents because each document has to be photographed and an individual plate made from the photographs. It's not like typing in a computer and out comes the finished copy in a typesetter. It's a lot different. Okay? Don't forget, all the 1993 tapes of the Hour of the Time are on sale. $5 for non-members, $4 for members, postpaid. My book, Behold a Pale Horse, is on sale. $25 postpaid for non-CAGI members. $20 for CAGI members. That's a $5 savings for each one of you. And the Babylon series, the Mystery Babylon radio series, which is over 40 audio tapes plus the Luxor videotape. And a few people called and wanted to know why they got a videotape with no narration. The Luxor has no narration, folks, because it's because it's a part of the Mystery Babylon series. We spent over 40 hours educating you as to the symbology of the mystery religion of Babylon. We don't need, and it's not desirable, to put narration on that tape. It would have ruined the atmosphere of the entire documentary. And someday, folks, you've got to learn to do it yourself. I gave you over 40 hours of the interpretation of the symbology of Mystery Babylon. And I gave you a tape that shows you that there's a temple of initiation right in Las Vegas where people from all over the United States and the world are going and being initiated in the 3 degrees and 6 acts. The search for the obelisk. The obelisk representing the creative force or the generative force, God. It's a search for God in three parts, which are supposed to be, you think, that they're entertainment rides. The end result is, you see the obelisk shattered in a million pieces, and you are very subtly informed that there is no God but man. And I know a lot of you have been there already and been through all three parts of the search for the obelisk and didn't even get that. Didn't even get the message. Didn't even know what you were looking at. So, wake up, folks. Wake up quick.
Never in human history has so few taken so much from so many as America's Illuminati and their warlords of Wall Street and Washington. In just 8 years, these banksters and international government gangsters took us from the greatest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation on Earth. Our standard of living has dropped like a rock for 4 out of every 5 Americans. They have foreclosed on our homes, our farms, our factories. They've exported your jobs and surrendered our arms.
They want it all. The technical services staff of the Central Intelligence Agency, ladies and gentlemen, realized that gaining information about the drug, LSD, in real-life situations was crucial to exploiting the drug to its fullest. The TSS started conducting experiments on its own people without their knowledge. On its own people, ladies and gentlemen, that's the kind of people they are. Scumbags. There was an extensive amount of self-experimentation. The Office of Security felt the TSS group was playing with fire, especially when it was learned that TSS was prepared to spike an annual office Christmas party punch with LSD. The Christmas party of the Central Intelligence Agency. Can you imagine Richard Helms swinging from the chandelier? Or stooping in a corner? Looking for dragons. LSD, ladies and gentlemen, could produce serious insanity for periods of 8 to 18 hours and possibly longer. One of the victims of the punch was Agent Frank Olson. You see, they did it. Having never had drugs before, LSD took its toll on Olson. He reported that every automobile that came by was a terrible monster with fantastic eyes out to get him personally. And each time a car passed, he would huddle down against a parapet, terribly frightened. Olson began to behave erratically. The Central Intelligence Agency made preparation to treat Olson at Chestnut Lodge, but before they could, he checked into a New York hotel and threw himself out from his 10th-story room. The Central Intelligence Agency was ordered to cease all drug testing. And of course, they did not. Mind control drugs and experiments were torturous to the victims. One of these three inmates who died in Vacaville Prison in July was scheduled to appear in court in an attempt to stop forced administration of a drug, the very drug that may have played a role in his death. Joseph Cannata believed he was making progress and did not need forced dosages of the drug Haldol. The Solano County Coroner's Office said that Cannata and two other inmates died of hyperthermia. That's extremely elevated body temperature. Remember, I said hyperthermia. Elevated body temperature. Their bodies all had at least 108 degrees temperature when they died, and I'm talking core temperature, folks. The psychotropic drugs they were being forced to take will elevate body temperature. Dr. Ewan Cameron, working at McGill University in Montreal, used a variety of experimental techniques, including keeping subjects unconscious for months at a time, administering huge electroshocks and continual doses of LSD. Massive lawsuits developed as a result of this testing. And many of the subjects who suffered trauma had never agreed to participate in the experiments. Such Central Intelligence Agency experiments infringed upon the much-honored Nuremberg Code concerning medical ethics. Dr. Cameron was one of the members of the Nuremberg Tribunal. LSD research was also conducted at the Addiction Research Center of the United States Public Health Service in Lexington, Kentucky. This institution was one of several used by the Central Intelligence Agency, the National Institute of Mental Health, and the United States Navy funded this operation. Vast supplies of LSD and other hallucinogenic drugs were required to keep the experiments going. Dr. Harris Isbell ran the program. He was a member of the Food and Drug Administration's Advisory Committee on the Abuse of Depressant and Stimulant Drugs. And they want to take your vitamins away. Almost all of the inmates were black, ladies and gentlemen. No racism in this country? You better guess again. Almost all of the inmates were black. In many cases, LSD dosage was increased daily for 75 days. Some 1,500 United States soldiers of all races were also victims of drug experimentation. Some claimed they had agreed to become guinea pigs only because of pressure from their commanding officers. Many claimed they suffered from severe depression and other psychological stress. One such soldier was Master Sergeant Jim Stanley. LSD was put in Stanley's drinking water, and he freaked out. Stanley's hallucinations continued even after he returned to his regular duties. His service record suffered. His marriage went on the rocks, and he ended up beating his wife and children. It wasn't until 17 years later that Stanley was informed by the military that he had been an LSD experimental subject. Of course, his life was ruined. He sued the government, but the Supreme Court ruled that no soldier could sue the Army for the LSD experiments. Justice William Brennan disagreed with the court decision. He wrote this, and I quote, "Experimentation with unknowing human subjects is morally and legally unacceptable." And I agree with him 100%, ladies and gentlemen. Private James Thornwall was given LSD in a military test in 1961. For the next 23 years, he lived in a mental fog, eventually drowning in a Vallejo swimming pool in 1984. Congress had set up a $625,000 trust fund for him. Large-scale LSD tests on American soldiers were conducted at Aberdeen Proving Ground in Maryland, Fort Benning, Georgia, Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, Dugway Proving Ground, Utah, and in Europe and the Pacific. The Army conducted a series of LSD tests at Fort Bragg in North Carolina. The purpose of the tests or to ascertain how well soldiers could perform their tasks on the battlefield while under the influence of LSD. At Fort McClellan, Alabama, 200 officers in the Chemical Corps were given LSD in order to familiarize them with the drug's effects. At Edgewood Arsenal, soldiers were given LSD and then confined to sensory deprivation chambers and later exposed to a harsh interrogation session by intelligence people. In these sessions, it was discovered that soldiers would cooperate if promised they would be allowed to get off the LSD. In Operation Derby Hat, foreign nationals accused of drug trafficking were given LSD by the Special Purpose Team, with one subject begging to be killed in order to end his ordeal. Such experiments were also conducted in Saigon on Viet Cong POWs under the Phoenix Project, which Lieutenant Colonel James Bobo Gritz was a part of. We're going to get bumper stickers printed up, folks. It's going to say, "Grits for Breakfast in 96. If you want one, let us know. Now, this is going to be of special interest to everyone. One of the most potent drugs in the United States arsenal is called BZ, or quinuclidinyl benzylate. It is a long-lasting drug and brings on a litany of psychotic experiences and almost completely isolates any person from his environment. I'm going to say that again for you. It's a long-lasting drug. It brings on a litany of psychotic experiences and almost completely isolates any person from his environment. The main effects of BZ last up to 80 hours. That's 80 hours. 80 hours compared to 8 hours for LSD. Negative after effects may persist for up to 6 weeks. The BZ experiments were conducted on soldiers at Edgewood Arsenal for 16 years. Many of the victims claim that the drug permanently affected their lives in a negative way. It so disoriented one paratrooper that he was found taking a shower in his uniform and smoking a cigar. BZ was eventually put in hand grenades and a 750-pound cluster bomb. Other configurations were made for mortars, artillery, and missiles. The bomb was tested in Vietnam and CIA documents indicate it was prepared for use by the United States in the event of large-scale civilian uprisings, and I published it in my book years ago, that when they suspend the Constitution and overtly create the one world government so that everybody knows it and has no doubt whatsoever, where Americans resist, they will be sprayed from the air with BZ. I wrote this years ago, folks. This is just confirmation. And you can find it in many, many other references to the mind control experiments of the Central Intelligence Agency, the Office of Naval Intelligence, Army G2, and others. It is important that we know these things so that we can prepare and so that we will not be taken off guard.
You to be a slave from birth to grave. The banksters own the Federal Reserve. It's private. They own it. It's neither federal nor a reserve. The cashists make that fiat funny money stuff you call dollars for 2 pennies. They lend it back to us at full face value. Then charge you interest. You get the debt. They get the interest. They get the gold. You get the shell.
They want it all. In Vacaville, psychosurgery has long been a policy. In one set of cases, experimental psychosurgery was conducted on 3 inmates, a black, a Chicano, and a Caucasian. This involved the procedure of pushing electrodes deep into the brain, in order to determine the position of defective brain cells, and then shooting enough voltage into the suspected area to kill the defective cells. One prisoner who appeared to be improving after surgery was released on parole but ended up back in prison. The second inmate became violent, and there is no information on the third inmate. Wonder where he is or what he's done. Vacaville also administered a terror drug, Anectine, as a way of suppressing hazardous behavior. I've heard of hazardous materials. I've never heard of hazardous behavior. In small doses, anectine serves as a muscle relaxant. In huge doses, it produces prolonged seizure of the respiratory system and a sensation, quote, worse than dying, end quote. The drug goes to work within 30 to 40 seconds by paralyzing the small muscles of the fingers, toes, and eyes, and then moves into the intercostal muscles and the diaphragm. The heart rate subsides to 60 beats per minute. Respiratory arrest sets in, and the patient remains completely conscious through the ordeal, which lasts 2 to 5 minutes. The experiments were also used at Atascadero. Several mind-altering drugs were originally developed for non-psychoactive purposes, and some of these drugs are phenothiazine and thorazine. The side effects of these drugs can be a living hell. The impact includes the feeling of drowsiness, disorientation, shakiness, dry mouth, blurred vision, and an inability to concentrate. Drugs like Prolixin are prescribed and described by users as sheer torture and becoming a zombie. The Veterans Administration, the VA hospital, has been shown by the General Accounting Office to apply heavy dosages of psychotherapeutic drugs. One patient was taking 8 different drugs, 3 antipsychotic, 2 anti-anxiety, 1 antidepressant, 1 sedative, and 1 anti-Parkinson. Three of these drugs were being given in dosages equal to the maximum recommended. Another patient was taking seven different drugs. One report tells of a patient who refused to take the drug. Quote, I told them, I don't want the drug to start with. They grabbed me and strapped me down and gave me a forced intramuscular shot of Prolixin. They gave me Artane to counteract the Prolixin, and they gave me a Sinequan, which is a kind of tranquilizer to make me calm down, which overcalmed me. So rather than letting up on the medication, they then gave me Ritalin to pep me up, end quote. Ritalin, we'll get to that later. They're giving that to your children in school. Prolixin, ladies and gentlemen, lasts for 2 weeks. One patient describes how the drug does not calm or sedate nerves, but instead attacks from so deep inside you, you cannot locate the source of the pain. Quote, the drugs turn your nerves in upon yourself, against your will, your resistance, your resolve, are directed at your own tissues, your own muscles, reflexes, etc., end quote. The patient continues. Quote, the pain grinds into your fiber. Your vision is so blurred you cannot read. You ache with restlessness so that you feel you have to walk, to pace. And then as soon as you start pacing, the opposite occurs to you. You must sit and rest, back and forth, up and down. You go in pain you cannot locate. In such wretched anxiety, you are overwhelmed because you cannot get relief, even in breathing, end quote. And this is another quote. We need a program of psychosurgery for political control of our society. The purpose is physical control of the mind. Everyone who deviates from the given norm can be surgically mutilated. The individual may think that the most important reality is his own existence, but this is only his personal point of view. This lacks historical perspective. Man does not have the right to develop his own mind. This kind of liberal orientation has great appeal. We must electrically control the brain. Someday armies and generals will be controlled by electric stimulation of the brain. End quote. These, ladies and gentlemen, were the remarks of Dr. Jose Delgado as they appeared in the February 24, 1974 edition of the Congressional Record, number 26, volume 118. Thought I was full of baloney, didn't you? Look it up. Despite Dr. Delgado's outlandish statements before Congress, folks, his work was financed by grants from the Office of Naval Research, the Air Force Aero Medical Research Laboratory, and the Public Health Foundation of the City of Boston. Dr. Delgado was a pioneer of the technology of electrical stimulation of the brain, or ESB. The New York Times ran an article on May 17, 1965, entitled Matador with a Radio Stops Wild Bull. The story details Dr. Delgado's experiments at Yale University School of Medicine and work in the field at Cordova, Spain. The New York Times stated this, quote, afternoon sunlight poured over the high wooden barriers into the ring as the brave bull bore down on the unarmed matador, a scientist who had never faced a fighting bull, but the charging animal's horn never reached the man behind the heavy red cape. Moments before that could happen, Dr. Delgado pressed a button on a small radio transmitter in his hand, and the bull braked to a halt. Then he pressed another button on the transmitter, and the bull obediently turned to the right and trotted away. The bull, you see, was obeying commands in his brain that were being called forth by electrical stimulation by the radio signals to certain regions in which fine wires had been painlessly planted the day before, end quote. According to Dr. Delgado, experiments of this type have also been performed on humans. We know that these experiments were conducted in Canada at certain hospitals, and that certain unknowing, unwilling, unconsenting human subjects were implanted with small electrodes in the brain. And to this day, are still being controlled by their handlers. Some have discovered these electrodes and are attempting to disclose the truth of these experiments. Of course, they are the targets of the government, the intelligence community, and some of them have borne tremendous injustices. While Dr. Delgado was giving a lecture on the brain in 1965, he said this, quote, "Science has developed a new methodology for the study and control of cerebral function in animals and humans," end quote. The late L.L. Vasiliev, professor of physiology, that's physiology at the University of Leningrad, wrote a paper about hypnotism. Quote, "As a control of the subject's condition, when she was outside the laboratory, in another set of experiments, a radio set was used. The results obtained indicate that the method of using radio signals substantially enhances the experimental possibilities," end quote. The professor continued to write, quote, "I.F. Tomaszewski, a Russian physiologist, carried out the first experiments with this subject at a distance of one or two rooms and under conditions that the participant would not know or suspect that she would be experimented with. In other cases, the sender was not in the same house, and someone else observed the subject's behavior. Subsequent experiments at considerable distances were successful. One such experiment was carried out in a park at a distance. Mental suggestions to go to sleep were complied with within 1 minute." End quote. The Russian experiments in the control of a person's mind through hypnosis and radio waves were conducted in the 1930s, some 30 years before Dr. Delgado's bull experiment. Dr. Vasiliev definitely demonstrated that radio transmission can produce stimulation of the brain. It is not, ladies and gentlemen, a complex process, as you may believe. In fact, it need not even be implanted within the skull or be productive of stimulation of the brain. All that is needed to accomplish the radio control of the brain is a twitching muscle. The subject becomes hypnotized and a muscle stimulant is implanted. The subject, while under hypnosis, is commanded to respond when the muscle stimulant is activated, in this case, by radio transmission. Lincoln Lawrence wrote a book entitled, "Were We Controlled?" Lawrence wrote, quote, "If the subject is placed under hypnosis and mentally programmed to maintain a determination eventually to perform one specific act, perhaps to shoot someone, it is suggested thereafter each time a particular muscle twitches in a certain manner, which is then demonstrated by using the transmitter, he will increase this determination even more strongly. As the hypnotic spell is renewed again and again, he makes it his life's purpose to carry out this act until it is finally achieved. Mr. Purdy, where are you?" Thus are the two complementary aspects of radio hypnotic intracerebral control, or RHIC, joined to reinforce each other and perpetuate the control until such time as the controlled behavior is called for. This is done by a second session with the hypnotist giving final instructions, and these might be reinforced with radio stimulation in more frequent cycles. They can even carry over the moments after the act to reassure calm behavior during the escape period, or to assure that one conspirator would not indicate that he was aware of the co-conspirator's role, or that he was even acquainted with him or that he would put a gun to his own head and blow his own brains out before he could be questioned by anyone. End quote. RHIC constitutes the joining of two well-known tools, the radio part and the hypnotism part. People have found it difficult to accept that an individual can be hypnotized to perform an act which is against his moral principles. Some experiments have been conducted by the United States Army, which show that this popular perception is absolutely false. The chairman of the Department of Psychology at Colgate University, Dr. Estabrooks, has stated, quote, "I can hypnotize a man without his knowledge or consent into committing treason against the United States," end quote. I'm going to say that again, quote, "I can hypnotize a man without his knowledge or consent into committing treason against the United States," end quote. Estabrooks was one of the nation's most authoritative sources in the hypnotic field. The psychologist told officials in Washington that a mere 200 well-trained hypnotists could develop an army of mind-controlled sixth columnists in wartime United States. He laid out a scenario of an enemy doctor placing thousands of patients under hypnotic mind control and eventually programming key military officers to follow his assignment. Through such maneuvers, he said, the entire United States Army could be taken over. Large numbers of saboteurs could also be created using hypnotism through the work of a doctor practicing in a neighborhood on foreign-born nationals with close cultural ties with an enemy power. Dr. Estabrooks actually conducted experiments on United States soldiers to prove his point. Soldiers of low rank and little formal education were placed under hypnotism and their memories tested. Surprisingly, hypnotists were able to control the subject's ability to retain complicated verbal information. J.G. Watkins followed in Estabrooks' steps and induced soldiers of lower rank to commit acts which conflicted not only with their moral code, but with the military code which they had come to accept through their basic training. One of the experiments involved placing a normal, stable Army private in a deep trance. Watkins was trying to see if he could get the private to attack a superior officer, a cardinal sin in the military. While the private was in a deep trance, Watkins told him that the officer sitting across from him was an enemy soldier who was going to attempt to kill him. In the private's mind, it was a kill or be killed situation. The private did not see his own officer sitting there. He saw an enemy soldier. The private immediately jumped up and grabbed the officer by the throat. The experiment was repeated several times, and in one case, the man who was hypnotized and the man who was attacked were very close friends, and the results were always the same. In one experiment, the hypnotized subject pulled out a knife and nearly accomplished the task. Subsequent experiments began with searching the subject to make sure that there were no more weapons. Watkins concluded that people could be induced to commit acts contrary to their morality if their reality was distorted by the hypnotism. Similar experiments were conducted by Watkins using WACS, or members of the Women's Army Corps, exploring the possibility of making military personnel divulge military secrets. I wonder what that experiment consisted of. Or I should say, you wonder, because I'm not going to tell you. A related experiment had to be discontinued because a researcher who had been one of the subjects was exposing numerous top secret projects to his hypnotist, who did not have the proper security clearance for such information. The information was divulged before an audience of 200 military personnel. And one of the people propagating the extraterrestrial invasion myth, a Mr. Robert Lazar, was the partner in the ownership of a brothel. a house of prostitution, where license plates of the customers' cars were videotaped and the customers were videotaped. Could he have been participating in one of these mind control experiments, or maybe conducting it, and then later, part of another vast mind control experiment on the American people to create the illusion of extraterrestrial abductions and the imminent threat of invasion of an extraterrestrial force? It could be, ladies and gentlemen, because when I was in the Office of Naval Intelligence, certain information was given to me that made me believe that that was what was happening until I stopped being stupid and began to do my own research. In man's quest to control the behavior of humans, there was a great breakthrough established by one Pavlov. You all have heard of him, who devised a way to make dogs salivate on cue. Now just think of the possibilities. He perfected his conditioning response technique by cutting holes in the cheeks of dogs and measured the amount they salivated in response to different stimuli. Pavlov verified that quality, rate, and frequency of the salivation changed, ladies and gentlemen, depending upon the quality, rate, and frequency of the stimuli. Though Pavlov's work falls far short of human mind control, it did lay the groundwork for future studies in mind and behavior control of humans. For that's what this is all ultimately directed at. John B. Watson conducted experiments in the United States on an 11-month-old infant. After allowing the infant to establish a rapport with a white rat, Watson began to beat on the floor with an iron bar every time the infant came in contact with the rat. After a time, the infant made the association between the appearance of the rat and the frightening sound and began to cry every time the rat came into view. Eventually, the infant developed a fear of any type of small animal. Watson was the founder of the behaviorist school of psychology, which calls itself a science, which really is no science whatsoever, based upon no facts whatsoever, based upon no scientific method whatsoever. Give me the baby, he says, and I'll make it climb and use its hands in constructing buildings or stone or wood. I'll make it a thief, a gunman, or a dope fiend. The possibilities of shaping in any direction are almost endless. Even gross differences in anatomical structure limits are far less than you may think. Make him a deaf mute, and I will build you a Helen Keller. Men are built, not born, end quote. And these are the people who want to have control of your children every day. Watson proclaimed his psychology did not recognize inner feelings and thoughts as legitimate objects of scientific study. He was only interested in overt behavior. I would like to experiment with Mr. Watson on some overt behavior. I have some very interesting proposals in mind. I would like to see how Mr. Watson behaves under my experimentation. Though Watson's work was the beginning of man's attempts to control human actions, the real work was done by B.F. Skinner, the high priest of the behaviorist movement. The key to Skinner's work was the concept of operant conditioning, which relied on the notion of reinforcement, which is, all behavior which is learned is rooted in either a positive or negative response to that action. There are two corollaries of operant conditioning, aversion therapy, and desensitization. You all are being subjected to desensitization every single day on purpose, intentionally. And most of you haven't got the brains to even realize it. Aversion therapy uses unpleasant reinforcement to a response which is undesirable. This, ladies and gentlemen, can take the form of electric shock, exposing the subject to fear-producing situations and the infliction of pain in general. It has been used as a way of curing homosexuality, alcoholism, and stuttering. Desensitization involves forcing the subject to view disturbing images over and over and over and over and over and over again until they no longer produce any anxiety, then moving on to more extreme images and repeating the processes over and over and over and over again until no anxiety is produced. Eventually, the subject becomes immune to even the most extreme images. This technique is typically used to treat people's phobias. Thus, the violence shown on television could be said to have the unsystematic and intended effect of desensitization. Sleep well, good night, and God bless you all. Ladies and gentlemen, the BBS, or Bulletin Board System, for the Intelligence Service is online and may be accessed by dialing 602-337-2592. That's 602-337-2592. We have put together a conference on the hour of the time and a market section for the general public.
Detonation on Earth. Our standard of living has dropped like a rock for 4 out of every 5 Americans. They have foreclosed on our homes, our farms, our factories. They've exported your jobs and surrendered our arms.
We want it all.
Illuminati wants you to be a slave from birth to grave. The banksters own the Federal Reserve. It's private. They own it. It's neither federal nor a reserve. The cashers make that fiat funny money stuff you call dollars for 2 pennies. They lend it back to us at full face value. Then charge you interest. You get the debt. They get the interest. They get the gold. You get the shell.
We want it all. We want your children. Now. We want you. We want your children. We want it now.
They want you under their thumb,
under their control. They want it all.
A new world order.
We want it all. We want it all now.